wholeheartedly to whatever you're doing. The lessons of life are in everything. So hopefully we practiced this morning wholeheartedly after mentioning that word. And so what does that mean? I've been contemplating. What does it mean and what does it look like? And some things that came up for me. It means energy. It means commitment. It means serious effort. It means giving my whole heart. It means not holding back. Not resisting, not giving in to fear, not half-hearted. Well, I'll see how it goes. Well, maybe. Or, well, I'll do it till I get tired or bored or something better comes along. Whatever it might be. I asked a friend yesterday what it meant to her. She thought for a moment and she said, enthusiasm. It includes enthusiasm. Yes, I think some enthusiasm to give us the energy, the motivation. So Diane Marie Child's commentary. We can bring a sense of wholeheartedness to every task we do, beginning with something as simple as brushing teeth. Really brush without thinking about what you're going to do next or looking back to what you have already done. Bring all your attention to this act. Do it with reverence. Now go through your day in this way. Bring all your energy to each task, however large or small. Wholehearted attention to every task, whether drinking a cup of tea, writing a letter, traveling to or from work, waiting in line, or listening to music, requires being where you are and nowhere else. Let go of thoughts of what needs to be done next, or fears or expectations about what you are doing. Just do as though your life depended on it. It does. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? So as I read that, I think, well, that's mindfulness. That's being present. Being present for our life. Being present. Everything that we're doing. Not being partly present and the other part planning the rest of the day or reviewing something, which of course is so easy to do, right? When I first started, planning was the big thing for me, and I could sit and plan a whole week's menu during a meditation time. Fortunately, I don't do it quite so much anymore. And then there would be the justification, right? Well, I need to do this so that when I'm finished, I can go to the store and I'll have my grocery list. But of course, the loss at being only half here, not being totally present for whatever I was doing. And it means neither thing really gets my full attention. And there's a wonderful feeling, a wonderful sense when I give myself completely to something. And of course, that doesn't mean that other things can't interfere. So that's one of the things I've been contemplating. What does it look like? If I'm wholehearted about something, does that mean that I can't do anything else, that I'm just engrossed in whatever, or totally focused or concentrated? And of course, sometimes that might be true. But no, not necessarily. And for me, not very often. I'm not real skilled at concentration, and I'm not one that can do something and block everything else out. I can give my full attention, but there's always the awareness around me. I'm not one that gets lost in something and, you know, loses track of time or forgets to eat. I just don't do that. So of course other things do come in, but there is a commitment, there is a persistence, there is an intention to continue no matter what else comes in, no matter what intervenes or grabs my attention or needs to be done, sometimes actually needs to be done. It's a coming back, just like we come back to the breath. But so in that sense, it's an attitude. It's the way I bring myself to something. The willingness to be fully with something without... It's not that I might not have reservations or I might not have doubt, but I don't give in to them. Don't follow them. I don't go down that hey, it's bold. It's a bold action. It's courageous. Most of all, maybe for me, it's that stick-to-itiveness. It's that persistence that I don't give up necessarily because it gets hard, or I don't give up because it gets boring or it gets old or whatever. One time many years ago, as you all know, I'm a swimmer, and somebody said to me, "Are you still swimming?" Like, wouldn't you have given that up by now? And of course, there are mornings, especially recently, when it's dark and it's cold, and this body does not necessarily want to get out and go swim. But there is a wholeheartedness for sure. There is a commitment, and of course, the pleasure is such that, you know, it makes it much easier to get up and out. So sometimes it's said that the spiritual path is very difficult, and that we know that because there are so few people on it. I guess that depends on what perspective you have. In many ways, I think many people on it, but it can be, if we take it seriously, wholeheartedly, it can be challenging. There certainly are times that that it's not easy, that it does take that commitment, it does take that wholeheartedness to keep us on the path. And it's not that we don't get discouraged, it's not that we don't perhaps have doubts want to give up or want to do something different, but something else says, stay with it, stay with it. So again, in terms of what it looks like, I think that can be different at different times. I think it can be different for different ones of us. I'm remembering many years ago, after I'd been practicing very diligently, and Gil said to me, "I think you're getting complacent." And I said, "I don't think so. I think I'm just leaving myself alone." That was my internal experience, that I was not, you know, hammering at myself. I was relaxing and leaving myself alone. On the outside, it might have looked like I was getting complacent. I was thinking too in terms of the difference between Zen and Vipassana. You know, we say you walk into a Zendo, everything is perfect. Everything is perfectly in line. The Zabutons and Zafus are all perfectly, and there's no, I mean, even if people are sitting, there's no extra around. There's no blankets, there's no pillows. A couple, but very few. There's nothing extra around. and everybody's sitting very straight and very, very still. You walk into a Vipassana meditation hall. It can be quite a different scene, right? Some people are slouched, and there might be all kinds of pillows and blankets and water bottles. Oh, you would never carry a water bottle into a Zendo. But in Vipassana, yeah. So what does that mean? It obviously looks very, very different. Does that mean Vipassana practitioners are any less wholehearted, any less dedicated than Zen? Of course, it depends on the person, but I don't think so. I think it's a different focus. Zen puts a lot of emphasis on form and the way we do things, you know? So that's why the Zendo looks very perfect and very unruffled. In Vipassana, we have a different emphasis. We emphasize watching the workings of the mind. In Zen, you don't sit around and talk later about what was going on in your mind. That's not a topic. In Vipassana, we might, whether it's with a teacher or just a group of us, we might talk about what was going on in our mind that morning or how busy it was, etc., because that's where our emphasis is. Less so on the form, although to some extent, but much less so, and more on the mind. I don't think there's a need to judge one or the other. Both people, Zen students can be very wholehearted. Vipassana students can be also. It's just a very different way of being wholehearted. So I think that's important, that we recognize that we can't necessarily look at somebody else. Sometimes we can. Sometimes it's clear that somebody is very wholehearted. But not always. Sometimes people are quite dedicated, but it may look a little different from what we expect or what we think. So one other, this again is from Pema Chodron. Wholeheartedness is a precious gift, but no one can actually give it to you. You have to find the path that has heart and then walk it impeccably. That word always trips me up. Impeccably sounds perfect, maybe, or am I? In doing that, you again and again encounter your own uptightness, your own headaches, your own falling flat. And Diane says, we have to choose to be present where we are right now in this moment. Only we can bring ourselves to this moment. In order to come to this moment, we must leave behind the fears and doubts that take us away from the moment. I like that. The fears and doubts take us away. Memories, regrets, fears, daydreams, and desires all drain energy. With this constant seepage of energy, we are unable to be fully present. It takes practice to bring our full attention to the present moment. Being fully present is risky business. It takes enormous courage. Isn't that true? It takes enormous courage to be fully present. We must risk making fools of ourselves, falling down and getting up over and over again. No one can do this for us. As we continue our practice of falling down and getting up, we are purifying our bodies, and I would add, in our minds. We are cultivating openness. We are rewarded in that openness, in that the openness extends itself and our vision is enlarged. Through our efforts, we are given the gift. A gift of grace. I found that interesting. The gift of wholeheartedness. I had seen it as not a gift, but something that I do, that I bring. and she suggests it is a gift of grace. Many years ago, reading Carlos Castaneda, I remember clearly Don Juan saying, "It doesn't matter so much what you do, as long as you do it with great abandon." That was one of those sentences that really caught me. As long as you do it with great abandon. And I think this is what he's talking about, wholeheartedness. That we give ourselves completely to whatever it is that we're doing. So it's almost 20 after. Does anybody have a comment?
Sometimes I get confused or I think of living in an existential kind of state. And I don't know if it's possible to live in an existential state. And so I'm equating that to the wholehearted.
How do you equate this to? A couple things come to mind. I think it was Joseph Goldstein that I read one time said that the practice without the spiritual aspect would be very existential and as such very dry and not alive. Very, very difficult, not very appealing. I think it is possible to be very in the moment without blocking out everything else. That doesn't, somebody said once, and if I'm planning, well, I'm planning in the moment. That can be a cop-out, but maybe it can also be true. That if that's what needs to be done, then that's what I'm doing right now. I'm planning or I'm listening or whatever it is I might be doing. I think it's the attitude. It's the intent of the awareness that is so important. And of course, we do get distracted. That's the way things are. Mind does not stay unless we're on a long retreat and deep in jhana or something. In our everyday lives, we really can't be that focused. We have to take in other things that are going on. But like with driving, say, we can really pay attention, but there has to be a broader vision. Have to pay attention to what's going on around. And probably that's more and more and more true, that we can't just focus straight ahead. There has to be a very wide range of awareness to be safe. So I think this wholeheartedness is within us, and there's not necessarily a how-to. Each of us, we sort of know when we're being wholehearted and when we're either holding back or just kind of halfway. So just being aware of that idea of wholeheartedness, and we can ask ourselves, as I have been doing, am I doing this wholeheartedly? Is there some holding back? Is there some lack of commitment, say, or some some way that I'm not fully engaged. And just living that question, I think, can be helpful.
Thank you. I think there's an opposite consideration, too, which calls for wisdom. And maybe it's like saying the near enemy of wholeheartedness. And as you were talking, I was thinking obsession.
Zen, many knees have been damaged.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was, I wouldn't actually call it wholeheartedness, maybe obsession is a better word, but, you know, having to sit absolutely still and not move no matter what. And literally, people have damaged their knees and have talked about it, you know. Yeah, I think that's not skillful. That's not wise. So, absolutely, there has to be that awareness and the fluidity, the willingness to make adjustments, to change. And the joy, I neglected to say that, there does have to be joy and happiness. I think, for me, that's part of the enthusiasm. You know, when there is happiness, joy, that brings the enthusiasm.